Oh, boy, what a Browns day it's been. Antonio Callaway cited for driving recklessly. Marijuana in the car at 3 a.m. in Strongsville. Not good. Not a good look at all. Evan Washburn is with us, CBS Sports, CBS Sports Network. Evan was with us last year at training camp. Good to see you again, Evan.
So glad I stopped by at this exact moment. This is exactly what I was hoping to do
right?
with you guys.
You know, I mean, we were just talking about it off the air. Like, for 2 weeks, it felt so different. And I don't want to – we don't want to tumble the whole thing over.
Sure.
But this is – it feels like same old Browns when something like
this
happens. Yeah,
it feels very apropos. And you're right, had – he not just spoke on Monday and been elevated up the depth chart and Tyrod Taylor as early as this morning commending him on his route running and all these things.
Yeah.
It would just be a fourth-round pick who had some prior issues, and they come up again, and maybe it's no big deal, and you know we'll wash our hands of it. But you've kind of committed in a small sense
yes.
to him, especially with the trading of Corey Coleman and the uncertainty with Josh Gordon and – This is a mess.
Well, the timing of it is just bizarre because, you know, on Sunday, this happened Sunday morning, late 3 in the morning, and later that day is when they trade Corey Coleman. I wonder if the Browns would have known about this. I'm guessing they didn't.
Yeah,
when they made the trade.
At least
they were working on the trade Saturday through Sunday, and they elevate Callaway on Sunday after he was – they wouldn't elevate the guy if he was arrested. I'd imagine there would be some sort of reprimand or whatever on Cal. Instead, he's elevated, comes to practice on Monday, acts like nothing happened, and here we find out this
and
stuff today.
Speaks to the media. Yeah. And this is where
you talk to the media, exactly.
You're reminded that you're dealing often with young kids.
Yeah.
I mean, these are young guys. I mean, and especially when you have a prior history that you can't avoid, you're going to be under a different type of microscope. So you hope for the Browns' sake that this can be managed in a way where it doesn't completely – ruin his chance of being effective this year. But as I think you guys were referencing some of the rules here, if he's in the program,
yeah.
then there's a hard line on any further mistakes made when it comes to substance abuse.
The information we're getting is that, yes, in fact, he could be suspended because he had a diluted sample at the combine, mm-hmm. which counts as a failed test. And so that puts him in the program. And so, yeah, this could be the next step. And you know, the rules are so confusing that I don't know. We don't know with 100% certainty, but it does appear that a suspension could happen here. And that's the last thing. You know, we were just talking about this, Evan, and we're talking with Evan Washburn of CBS. The fact that, like, a couple of weeks ago we're looking at Jarvis Landry, Josh Gordon, and Antonio Callaway. He's a rookie, but there was a lot of potential. Probably would have been a high pick if he hadn't been in trouble. And now Gordon, we don't know. Now he we don't know. Coleman, a former first-round pick, is traded. And now it's Jarvis Landry and who?
Yeah.
Nobody.
And Higgins.
Hollywood.
Who's played well, but I mean.
Yeah, but we've seen him for 2 years, not too much.
Came on at the end of the last year.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's an immense challenge, and it makes it even more important to have Tyrod Taylor under center because he's dealt with offenses that have lacked weapons and has found a way to kind of manage his team through it. Now, he doesn't have a player like LeSean McCoy like he had in Buffalo to carry the load as much as he did, but Tyrod, if I can think about it from last year, didn't have much on the outside. Kelvin Benjamin was banged up most of the year, and they didn't have a lot of pass catchers. So I think he won't be uncomfortable in this situation.
There have been talks, guys, about, you know, obviously Dez Bryant, his name has come up in the past. The Bengals just cut Brandon LaFell, a veteran wide receiver who doesn't have the baggage that Dez Bryant has. I wonder, you know, Eric Decker just got signed to New England.
Right? Yep.
New England. You wonder now if the Browns go out and sign a veteran wide receiver.
I mean, we'll see what happens, guys. I think the Browns do want to see what they have here in some of these young players. You know, they did draft Damian Ratley in the 6th round out of Texas A&M. The Callaway kid they had high hopes for.
But if they're worried he's going to get suspended.
I get that.
Yeah.
But you talk about Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
Does he want to even come play for
no,
the Browns?
But maybe LaFell, another veteran, could make some – I don't know.
I understand all that. I'm just saying we can't just immediately say those guys fill a hole because those guys are old players anyway.
Yeah, they're not – right, absolutely.
What do you think? I'm sorry.
No, I would tend to agree unless you have a – fully committed Dez and a guy who wants to be here and you're willing to, I guess, meet his contractual demands, then I would think that's be something you'd want to avoid. And it appears, and you guys are closer to it than I am, but that John Dorsey is constantly having the long view here. And just because you've lost a young emerging – we don't even know if you've lost him, but
right.
You're dealing with – there's no reason to react and bring in a guy, overpay a Dez Bryant, and bring in a guy who's just here to pick up a paycheck and maybe play as much as he wants just because a rookie got busted
right.
over the weekend. To me, that would be too reactionary. A LaFell thing could be because I have to imagine you'd get him on the cheap,
yeah.
Could be, to me, a more reasonable way to go.
Evan, you before this news broke, you know, you're here, we're here every day, so sometimes you get immune to things, but as someone who's here for the first time this camp, what was your vibe before this news came out about Callaway?
And honestly, I don't think I'm going to allow this news to completely shift
yes,
my
– Yes, definitely.
We have no idea how effective this kid could be or
right.
would have been or will be. Just a much more positive energy. And, look, I think we've probably had the same conversation. That's often the thing you get at every camp. But I think it's probably because I know Tyrod so well, having
yeah.
spent time with him in Baltimore and then followed him to Buffalo, that while he has flaws and he has things he can't do, I think this team is in a great position to at least have some stability at that position and a person that's not going to lose games for you. And I think that gives a building and a locker room a calmness
yeah.
that can permeate through not just the offense but a defense, knowing that they have somebody that has done it before and will give us a shot. And when your expectations are relative, I would imagine hopefully maybe 4 to 6 – maybe 8 wins, whatever it might be, I think that is a real belief that's kind of come through here.
Evan, are you excited about Baker Mayfield?
I'm kind of reserving judgment. I didn't find any of the rookie quarterbacks other than probably Josh Rosen that intriguing. I thought that this was a class that was built up, and maybe that's why a guy like Baker mm-hmm. was able to come from what appeared to be nowhere to the first overall pick. And I also admit that I don't know an eighth as much about football as John Dorsey does, so if he sees something. But to me, this sort of translating of skill sets that where you're in an offense like Oklahoma, where it is full of gimmicks and tricking guys open and things that just would not translate to the NFL, it just seems like a large leap. And the Josh Rosen that I saw when he was healthy, for example, as one of the rookies in this class, that to me was translatable, and I liked his personality as much as mm-hmm. criticism as got. But I have been, in the days leading up to being here, in watching and listening to everything Baker has said and talking to people that I trust about what they've seen from him, he seems to have come in here with the correct attitude and mindset to – try and build himself into a capable starter at some point.
Right. We know Tyrod's most likely going to start week one. You talk about you know him well from Baltimore, from Buffalo. You know, everywhere he's been, well, but especially in Buffalo when he became a starter, every year he started, played most of the games, and yet there was a sense they wanted to push him out. Essentially they did, even though they were doing well last year when they started Nathan Peterman, who threw, I think, 42 picks in the first half of that game. Has that hardened him in a way? I mean, he seems like a great teammate, a great leader. I'm hearing nothing but amazing things. Tell us a little more about him.
Yeah, I think harden's a very appropriate word. Remember, he started as a backup to Joe Flacco,
yeah.
and I think early on in his career as a starter, it was just about holding on to his job.
Right.
And he knew the best way to do that was to not turn the ball over. And I think that has created who he is as a quarterback, and I think that's why this is, as wild as it may sound, the perfect situation for him. I mean, most quarterbacks want to avoid coming here because they know they could become part of that long list that's been cycled through. But I think for Tyrod, he can be valued here for just that, the valuing of the ball. The things that got him benched for that one game in Buffalo, I think, would have him celebrated here. Buffalo was in a process of thinking, we could be better than we are if we had a guy who would take some chances. There are going to be moments, and you guys break down the games on Monday, where you're going to watch the All-22, and there's going to be passes that could have been made
yeah.
that weren't made because he either didn't see them or he didn't want to take the risk. And that's just something you're going to have to live with. And I think here in Cleveland it would make sense to me that if you lived with whatever it was, 27, 28 interceptions last year, and you miss a couple big play opportunities, but you have four interceptions this year from your quarterback position, you would take that. And I think that's what you get with Tyrod.
I think there's any chance that Todd Haley gets him to open up and be a little bit more of a risk taker?
I think he could be. I mean, there could be that chance. I think his personality, he'll take risks with his legs and with his body. Yeah. I mean, he's still an explosive athlete. He can get out of the pocket and make plays that way. And this is where it gets out of my depth, but I'm sure from what I understand, Todd Haley can really diagnose and scheme out things. If he can make it digestible to Tyrod to the place where it doesn't appear to be a risk to test things in a certain direction, then I don't see why that couldn't be the case.
We're talking with Evan Washburn of CBS. Evan, all right, some other things on this team. Let's look at the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, there was a lot of moves made in the secondary, including Denzel Ward taking fourth overall. They added Michael Kendricks from Philadelphia up front. A lot of changes. And, you know, I think this defense was probably better than it looked because they were behind the eight ball all the time last year. I think for all the talk, we've talked so much about quarterbacks, the defense is probably ahead of the offense.
It should be.
Yeah,
I mean, you would hope so. I mean, I think across the league, defenses the first few weeks of camps are usually ahead of the offense. But here, that appears to be even more the case. I mean, I think I had read that maybe Baker hadn't thrown a touchdown against the first-team defense or something of that. Now, whatever the first-team defense had really been able to
they've been dominant.
Keep
mm-hmm.
this team in check. And that was the thing Hugh said when we spoke just kind of briefly this morning. He's been really impressed with that secondary, whether it be Denzel, Demarius, Jabril with another year of seasoning. I think this defense is probably going to have to, if they're, again, as you mentioned, not playing from behind and dealing with multiple possessions and three and outs, they're going to have to keep teams in that sort of 14 to 20 range as best they can.
You excited for Hard Knocks tonight? We get a chance to watch it?
I love this show. Awesome. I could watch NFL films.
Just the music.
I could just watch, like, the mow the grass.
Yeah,
the
sprinkler. Music. You know you're getting the sprinkler to start the show off before you get the music.
It's amazing.
It's so well done, and I think it gets – I mean, I'll watch that stuff on replay in the middle of the summer. And I was talking to one of the producers, and the highest rated season, do you guys – you want to guess or do you already know?
I don't know.
No,
highest
don't know.
Rated Cowboys?
Jets.
Oh,
with
yeah,
Rex.
Yeah,
and the reason, though, was because of the Darrell Revis contract negotiation. It created that storyline and that plot line that sort of anchored the show. And like it or not, I mean, we thought that it was going to be the quarterback competition that's not really a competition here anymore.
Yeah.
I think it's – I mean, if I was going to guess, I would say that – this Callaway, the
– they're scrambling to get that in for tonight.
That provides the drama that you hope if you're producing Hard Knocks because it's the best reality show
we have in
sports.
It's better than The Bachelorette or Bachelor. I mean, come on.
That well, you know what else was in the Jets? My last was also now I'm forgetting. The cornerback who was having
when he had all
– Cromartie. Cromartie.
That
season
he couldn't name his kids.
Had so many.
Yeah, 10 kids. I mean, I wouldn't be able to name them either.
Was it Tannenbaum was the GM?
Tannenbaum was the GM.
He came off really bad, I thought.
Well, the whole – it was the negotiations with Revis were priceless.
I mean, great stuff. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, always good.
And you got first game Chiefs, Chargers, right?
Yeah, we'll be –
the Chiefs are interesting because they moved on from Alex Smith and – you know, Pat Mahomes is, by report, I guess people are – have you been to Chiefs camp?
No, I'll be there next Monday.
Okay, because we've been hearing that he hasn't been great at training camp.
Yeah, throwing a lot of picks,
right.
But he's a gunslinger. That's what they – and I've never heard a front office and staff, while an existing quarterback to the level of Alex Smith, rave about a rookie as much as they did last year. So they've built him up to the point where now it's going to be time to deliver.
Thanks, Evan. We appreciate
it. Always fun, guys. Thanks.